look at the scripture today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I do want to remind you, a lot of you know this, that our brother Des Easter crossed the finish line into glory this week, a couple days ago. And a lot of y'all haven't met Des because he's been struggling physically for a couple of years now and hasn't been able to be with us. But Leslie is certainly grieving at this point. We need to pray for her. And then you probably also heard about Joe Valdez. His father died this past week. And so we need to be praying for these folks as they grieve the loss. But rejoice in the hope that is ours in Christ. It's always so good to know that when folks die in Christ, they're immediately healed completely, and they pass into the presence of our Lord, and they live, experience life as they've never known, as we've never known at this point. So would you join me in prayer? Oh, Father, we're so grateful that we can come into your presence today. Thank you that we come not timidly, but boldly and with confidence, because we come as those who are in Christ, those who have been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus and accepted fully by you. Thank you that we can address you as Father, Abba, Heavenly Daddy. Thank you that you know us intimately. Thank you that you've known us even from eternity, before there was time, before there was a creation. Lord, you had us in view and you loved us with an everlasting love. And thank you that, Lord, you have given us purpose. You've planned out our lives. Lord, you've given us our talents, abilities, our looks. You've everything, every circumstance, situation that comes into our life is ordained by you. And you use it for good, Lord, to transform us into the likeness of our Savior, that we might know you more intimately, that we might love you more. Father, we do pray for the Easter family as they grieve the loss of Des. Lord, thank you so much that Des knew you. And Lord, he trusted in Jesus. He was a man of God. And thank you that today he is liberated from the brokenness of this world, that broken body, worn out body. And now he is experiencing his first Sabbath in your presence. Lord, I pray for Leslie. Pray for Molly Ann, their daughter, and all those that grieve over the loss. I pray that you would comfort them by your Holy Spirit, that you'd encourage them. And I pray all as well for Joe Valdez and for his family as they grieve the loss of a father. Lord, would you bless and comfort them as well and uphold them by your grace. Father, thank you that you know each of us here, and you know all the struggles we go through, the temptations we face. Lord, you know how easy it is for us to fret, to be anxious over things. Lord, I pray that we would learn just to rest in you. Lord, to trust you in all situations, to wait upon you. Lord, I thank you that we're never alone. You promise you would never leave us or forsake us. And I thank you, Father, that even in the difficult times that we go through, the fiery trials that we experience, Lord, when it may even seem like you aren't around, Lord, thank you for your word that reminds us that you are ever present in our life. Lord, I pray that you continue to work in this body of believers here. I pray, Father, that we would all grow as true disciples of Jesus. Lord, we live in a world today and a society where there is a lot of nominalism, where a lot of folks profess to be Christians, but it seems that relatively few folks are really eager about following Jesus closely and being devoted to Him. Oh Lord, I pray that would not be the case with any of us here. Lord, that we would seek to be all that You want us to be, and that we would seek to express our love and gratitude to You through a life of obedience. And I pray, Father, that as we follow You, You would make us fishers of men. That is why we're here. That is why we're here. You left us here not simply so we can grow spiritually, but so we can be Your ambassadors to a world that is lost. I pray that we would be faithful ambassadors and proclaim the message of our sovereign Lord. Lord, I pray that You would use us here to introduce many to our Savior, to bring many into Your kingdom. Now, Father, as we look at Your word this morning, we pray that You would use this time to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth now and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is the second week in Advent. This Advent is that four-week period of time leading up to Christmas in which we pretty much prepare ourselves spiritually for this. It's a time that we begin to identify with the saints of old, with the people of God, and even in the Old Testament, as they looked ahead to the coming of the Messiah. And it's a little different for us. They were certainly looking ahead to the coming of the Messiah. And for us, because He has already come, we're looking back with gratitude for what God has done for us in Christ. But there is a sense that there is still this expectation, anticipation that Christ is coming. And so we can sing, "O come, O come, Emmanuel." Our cry is, "Lord, even so, come quickly. We want You to come back." And so the feelings that we have right now are similar to the feelings that the people of God had even in the Old Testament. During this period of Advent, we typically focus on four different ideas or concepts that will help us in this preparation. The first thing we looked at last week was hope. That's one of those concepts. The candle that's associated with this particular concept is often called the prophet's candle. It's the prophet's candle because the focus is on the promises that God made through the prophets to His people back then. And of course, many of those prophecies have been fulfilled. Many of the promises God made to His people have been fulfilled with the coming of Christ. But I want to remind you that not all of the promises made in the Old Testament have been realized in Christ. We're still looking ahead. And when Christ returns for His people, when He establishes the new heavens and the new earth, then we're going to see the fulfillment of all of those prophecies and promises that God has made to us. So once again, we're continuing to look forward to what God has for us. There is still this sense of hope and anticipation of what God's going to do. Now today, we're going to focus on the second concept, which is peace. Peace. The candle associated with that is called the angel's candle. And so we're going to read this passage in Luke 2, a story of the angels appearing to the shepherds. So if you have your Bible, you can follow along with me. I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. Familiar passage. We've heard it many, many times, but we'll look at it again this morning. In Luke 2, beginning in verse 8, says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as been told them. This morning, I just really want to focus on verse 14 there. It's the chorus of the angels. A glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now, the King James Version, probably a little more familiar with it because that's the version we hear a lot. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And of course, when we hear that, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, we immediately think that perhaps the angels, as they look down on what's happening on this earth, one of the things they're longing for is peace on this earth, the cessation of wars and fighting and maiming and killing and so forth. Even that is the desire of the angels. And certainly that would be our desire, wouldn't it? That there would be peace on earth. Let there be peace on earth. I mean, this is this whole concept that's here, peace on earth, is in a lot of the music that we sing. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth, and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, and came upon a midnight clear. Now listen to that, a glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold, peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven, it's all gracious king. And so that is sort of a theme, a refrain that sort of just sort of burned into our consciences there, our minds. We see this phrase, peace on earth, on banners, so Christmas ornaments, everywhere you go, peace on earth, peace on earth. That's what we long for. But the reality is that's probably not going to happen until Christ returns again. In fact, it's interesting, there's a journal called the Personnel Journal. It says this, in all of recorded history, which is about 3,530 years, there's only been peace on earth about 8% of that time, or 268 years. And during that time period, there have been in excess of 8,000 peace treaties that have been made and broken. We're probably not going to see that peace on earth. But it's not just peace on earth we want to see. We want to see peace in families. We want to see an end to the bickering, the fighting that basically breaks up families. We want to see peace in communities. I know the folks in Portland, Oregon would love to see peace in their area. And a lot of these big cities where the rule of law has just sort of been thrown out the window. We want to see that sort of peace. But I want you to understand today that when the angels were singing this, that is not what they were talking about. We long for this sort of peace, and it would be great if it would come. Peace on earth, peace in family, peace in the community, and so forth. But that's not what the angels were singing about. Actually, the King James Version, peace on earth, goodwill to men, is really based on an inferior translation or manuscript. There's actually one little letter difference in the Greek, and it changes the whole sense of it. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, that's the King James Version, but better translation would be something like this in the Message. Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please Him. And then you have the NAS, which I just read. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. And then glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. And what we understand here is this, the peace that the angels are singing about, it's not this global peace, but it's an individual peace that we experience. And it's a peace that not everyone's going to experience, because here's a condition met here. And you see that very clearly here. It is peace with whom, in those with whom he is pleased. Now, we'll come back to that in a minute. But that's what he's talking about. It is a peace inwardly. It is not an external peace. It's an inward peace. Actually, when Christ was born, there was a form of outward peace, social peace at that particular time, political peace. It was called the Pax Romana, or the Roman peace. It was established and began around 27 BC and continued for 200 years. That was a time of peace. But it's interesting, even then, there was a first century pagan thinker and writer called Epictetus who said this, "While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns more than even for outward peace." That's from a pagan. He understands that there's something that we long for more than this outward peace. We want peace in our heart. And so that's what I want to talk about today. What is the peace of Christmas that we celebrate? Well, the peace of Christmas, first of all, is peace with God. In 1953, Billy Graham wrote a book with this particular title, Peace with God. Billy Graham was believed, as I do, that one of the greatest needs today is for people to be at peace with God. How in the world can we be reconciled, made right with God? How can we get rid of this feeling that God is angry with us and sitting there ready to judge us and condemn us? How do we placate this guilty conscience that seems to hold us in bondage there? How do we get rid of that? Those are questions that we want to know. How do you have peace, this inward peace? How are you made right with God? Well, Paul writes about this in Romans. He says this in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Justified, that's a theological term, is actually a judicial term that simply means we're acquitted of any wrongdoing. Our sins are forgiven, and God basically credits to our account the righteousness or the perfect life of Jesus to us. He gives us His righteousness as a gift. And that is how we're made at peace with God. It's not through our own efforts or what we do or don't do. It's because of what Christ has done for us. And when a person comes to this place, in their life where they realize that they have really failed miserably to live up to God's standard, and they put their trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they surrender their lives to Him, at that point they are justified. They are justified. They're forgiven all their sins. And God gives to us the gift of righteousness. I tell you why that's so important, because I know there are a lot of people today who are going around living under a cloud of guilt. There are a lot of folks who, and I'm sure there are folks here, who still can't get over the fact that they did something or didn't do something years ago, and it still is a heavy weight that they carry. It is a bondage of sort. And think, how can I get rid of this condemnation, this condemning conscience? How can I get rid of that? How can I be made right with God? Paul goes on to say in Romans 5, "Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him." In other words, God's no longer angry with us. He's not angry with us. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." That's the type of peace that God wants us to have. Peace with Him, to know that He accepts us fully, unconditionally, There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. J.C. Ryle said this, "Without justification, it is impossible to have real peace. Conscience forbids it. A sin is a mountain between a man and God and must be taken away. The sense of guilt lies heavy on the heart and must be removed. Unpardoned sin will murder peace." The true Christian knows all this well. His peace arises from a consciousness of his sins being forgiven and his guilt being put away. He has peace with God because he is justified. Do you know that peace today? Have you experienced that in your life? Do you know that God accepts you fully? Are you living under a cloud of guilt? If so, God's saying, you don't have to. That's what Christmas is about. You can be made at peace with God. There's a second type of peace we experience at Christmas, the peace of God. This is the peace that Paul wrote about in Philippians 4. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I like the way the NIV says, "The peace of God which transcends all understanding." In other words, you just can't wrap. The non-Christian world cannot wrap their minds around this. They cannot understand. Anyone can have peace when things are going well. And life is just, you know, smooth sailing and so forth, and everything's going your way. And we can have peace. But what happens when there's great trials, distress, when there are hardships that you face? And what Scripture is telling us, that we can have peace even in those times. Paul was having peace even as he wrote this letter from a Philippian jail. This sort of peace that Horatio Spafford experienced and expressed in this song that we'll sing after the sermon, "It Is Well With My Soul." A lot of you heard the story about Horatio Spafford. In 1870... his four-year-old son died of scarlet fever. His only boy. He had five children. And in 1871, he suffered serious financial loss with the Great Chicago Fire. And then in 1873, he booked passage on a ship to England. He was going over there to help Moody and Sankey with a revival service. And at the last minute, there was a business emergency. He had to stay behind and deal with that. But he sent his wife and his four children on ahead of him. And unfortunately, the ship that they were on hit another ship. It sank. His wife survived, but his four daughters drowned. And so Horatio, when he heard word, he immediately booked passage on a ship to go be with his wife. Both of them no longer parents. All five of their children were gone. And on the way over there, on the ship, he wrote that beautiful hymn, "When peace like a river and I just lost my strength sendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." You say, how could he get to that point? How could he get to that point? It is a peace that transcends understanding. That's the peace that God wants all of us to have, regardless of what we're going through. You say, how in the world can you do that, though? How can you have that sort of peace in the midst of hardships and trials? And I've seen that. And numerous folks over the years who've lost loved ones. And I think of a friend of mine when I was in college, a lady, her husband, who is a physician, and a son who is in college. He had flown over on his private plane to pick his son up for Christmas. And on the way back, they crash into a mountain and both killed. And I can remember walking to the house that day and where she was, said, "Tom, everything's okay." I thought, how do you do that? Well, we can have peace like that because we know that the sovereign God, the one who rules over all things, is in control of everything that happens to us. And He orders all things for our good. He causes all things to work together for good. We can trust Him. That's why Peter says, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That's why we can have this peace of God in our life. And Jesus came that we might experience that. So when we are at peace with God, we can experience this peace of God. I know anxiety and fear and just this troublesome spirit. There's a lot of that in our day and time, especially in this day of pandemic. You know, we feel like we're getting through the pandemic and all of a sudden there's this other strain of virus that hits the scene. And you see so many people that are anxious and fearful about this and so forth. He said, no, we need to be at peace. God's in charge of this. The anxiety that we experience, you go to the doctor and the doctor says, there's something suspicious there. We need to look into this. It's very easy at that point in time for that peace to just fly out the window. And God says, no, trust me. I'm in charge here. I've got a plan. I want you to rest in me and trust me to carry you through this situation. J. Oswald Sanders said this, peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. That's true, isn't it? It's the presence of God in our life. We're always going to have trouble. There are always going to be trials and difficulties. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll walk with you through this. And then there's a third type of peace, peace of Christmas, and that's peace with others. Yeah, you look in Scripture, like in Hebrews, it says, pursue peace with all people and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. You come to Romans 12, it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. God wants us to be at peace with folks. And the reality is this, as we're at peace with God and experiencing His peace, it's going to overflow in our relationships. God wants us to be at peace with folks. You say, how does that come about? Well, if you go to Romans 12, 1, it says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In view of God's mercy. Now, that's what Paul had been talking about in the previous 11 chapters. He's been talking about justification. He's been talking about all that God has done for us in Christ. And he's saying, therefore, in light of all that He's done for us, how God has been merciful and gracious to us, here's what I want you to do. Here is how I want you to live. Present yourselves to God. And then he goes on down in verse 14 and says this. And actually, the whole of that chapter is basically how we're to deal with other folks. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. So yeah, this peace that we experience in our life, it certainly carries over to other folks. You see, as God demonstrates His grace to us, as we experience His grace in our life, we become channels of His grace to other people. We become channels of grace. And we're able to live in harmony with people. We're able to experience His peace. It affects marriages. It affects relationships in the corporate world, business world, wherever you are, community. Because we can become channels of God's grace. Proverbs 16 says this, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So this is part of the peace that we experience at Christmas. It's peace that basically God works through us so that we can share this peace with others. Peace on earth? Goodwill to men? No, it's peace on earth. Peace to men with whom God is well pleased. And God is well pleased with those who are justified. God is well pleased to those who are in a proper relationship with Him. God is pleased with those Wow. I had a couple of quotes there I was going to share. Wow. How about that? Let's start over. No. Yeah, Charles Stanley said this. He said, grace and peace are twin sisters, grace being the firstborn. Where grace abounds, peace thrives. Where grace is stunted, peace shrivels. Think of that. And that's why Paul, in all of his letters, we tend to just sort of gloss over this and so forth. But remember, he's always saying, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace are always united together like that. And so when we experience God's grace, then His peace grows in us. To the degree we experience the grace, to that degree we experience and share His peace with others. And Lloyd John Ogilvie, who's the 61st chaplain of the U.S. Senate, said this, peace is the result of grace. It literally means to bind together. In other words, the peace which comes from unmerited, unearned love can weave and bind our fragmented lives into wholeness. And the civil war of divergent drives, which makes us feel like rubber bands stretched in all directions, is ended. The Lord is in control. He has forgiven the past. He is in charge of now and shows the way for each new day. My question, are you at peace with God? If not, this Christmas I invite you to come to the Savior. Come to Jesus. Be reconciled to God. Experience that justification, the joy of knowing that God is no longer angry with you and that He has forgiven every sin in your life. What a blessing. And once you experience that, let me encourage you as well to experience the peace of God. Experience the peace of God. Cast all your care upon Him. All of us are going to go through hardships and difficulties. Don't allow anxiety and worry. Worry, the Greek word there, literally means divided mind. The peace that God gives us unites us. Shalom, the Hebrew word, simply means completeness and wholeness, fulfillment. That's what God wants for us so that we can experience His blessing, that abundant life He has for us. And then peace with others. If you're not at peace with someone, let me encourage you today to be a channel of grace to those people and to reach out to them and to extend God's grace to them, that forgiveness. May His peace grow in each of our lives as we move through this Christmas season, as we see these reminders, peace on earth. Remember, it's about peace that's within that God gives by His grace. Father, thank You for the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You that He is the Prince of Peace that came that we might be reconciled to You. Our sins would be forgiven, that we no longer have to live under a cloud of guilt. We no longer have to hear the conscience condemning us for our failures. Lord, we can be completely forgiven and accepted by You. Thank You, Father, that we can experience that peace that surpasses all comprehension, knowing that the sovereign Lord of the universe is our Father, who cares for us and who has ordained everything that happens to us to bring about good in us. Oh, Father, we pray as well that at this time of year where we celebrate peace, that there would be healing in relationships. Oh, Lord, I pray that we, your people, would be channels of grace to others, that we might point them to the Savior as well. Lord, thank you for the Prince of Peace. Thank you for bringing us to yourself. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.